Our scripture reading, give me a moment. It's from the book of Job. I need a moment, however. Our reading is from the book of Job, chapter 33, verses 1 through 24. Job, chapter 33. Hear the word of God. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and behold, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of the Lord hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a vision, in a dream, a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, cause us to see the relevance of this text to our lives, not only to our lives, but those who we pray for who are on beds of affliction and who suffer affliction physically. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Years ago, I was a member of a Christian sect, actually. It was a Christian commune. They had certain errors, but they basically were a Christian group. And we, not the married couples, but those who were single, we would sleep in a common room and in an attic. And this would be in Cardiff, New Jersey. And this was on top of a Christian bookstore. And the bookstore had a business. And one way or another, we all participated in it. And I remember that I had an experience with this text. I was waking up, as we were waking up in the morning, it was time for us to get up. And as I was waking up, I sensed the Spirit of God was showing me things in my sleep. And I didn't remember exactly what he was showing me, but I remember that I was being instructed in certain ways while I slept. And as I rose from consciousness, I forgot what it was that I was being instructed about. But I related this account to a friend of mine who was there, and I said, I just had this amazing experience. You know, I felt like the Lord was teaching me while I was asleep, and yet I can't remember exactly what he was teaching me. And he said, that's in the Bible. And I had no idea that was in the Bible. And he pointed me to Job 33, not the whole text that I just read here, but certain sections of it. And I said, well, that happened to me. So I want to go over this and show how it's relevant to us as well, and for the people that we pray for, some of whom don't know the Lord or just recently have known the Lord, and how it's relevant to them. But let's begin here at the beginning of this and get a little by way of background as to what's going on here. The admonisher of Job here is Elihu. He is the youngest and the last. This is not one of Job's three friends who were trying to console Job and not doing a good job of it, and they ended up judging him in a wrong way. This is Elihu. This is a youth. And he's saying, basically, Job, you're wrong, and I don't want to be the admonisher because you have such status and you have such standing in the community and you're a godly man, but nonetheless, no one is telling you what you need to hear in the midst of all your sufferings. And here I am, a youth, and I feel out of place, but I have to say something. And he does. And let's look at this verse by verse. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken unto all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The young man speaks with a certain confidence, but he does speak the truth. Verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Now he almost sounds like God. Because he's saying, if you can refute what I'm saying, then say on, but I'm going to speak what the Lord's given me to speak concerning you. Verse 6, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. What does he mean by that? I am speaking as if God were speaking to you. You yourself, Elihu is saying, have asked God, why am I suffering like this? Please show me, what have I done? What have I done that all these things should come upon me this way? And so Elihu now answers, I am according to thy wish. In other words, God's prayer. And here I am giving you counsel as if God were giving you counsel in God's stead. You see what I'm saying? I also, says Elihu, was formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. How can we sum that up? I will not be your admonish. I will not be your critic. I will not overly condemn or judge you for what you're going through. Verse 8, surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words saying, and now Elihu repeats what Job has been saying to the Lord himself in his dialogue back and forth. If you know the book of Job, Job is dialoguing with the Almighty God and saying things like, verse 9, I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? Verse 9, I am, and Elihu is repeating what Job has said to God. I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Let me pause here. Job, as far as men were concerned, was an upright man. The Lord said he is upright. He even said that to the accuser, to the devil. The Lord God said that of him. Now, certainly he's born in sin, but he's living a pious life. He has short accounts with God. He doesn't understand why this is happening. This is what he means by this in verse 9. And now verse 10. Again, Elihu repeats what Job has said to the Lord. Behold, he, Job now addressing God, Elihu is repeating this. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. This is just what Job has been saying. Why is God treating me as if I am his enemy? And this text is actually found where Job is saying to God, "You're treating me as one of your enemies." Verse 11, "He putteth my feet in the stocks; he marketh all my paths." Job has been confined to his bed now because of his affliction. Elihu is repeating Job's words. Verse 12, "Behold, in this thou art not just." Elihu is saying you shouldn't be this way towards the Lord. "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man." Job knows all this, but in his afflictions, in his suffering, we can understand how he would waver at these things. It's one thing to know head knowledge. We can know the doctrine that God is just. But when you're in situations that seem patently unjust for what you've done, you're going to want to cry out. Job was a man. The Lord himself said he was a perfect man. It's King James. "He escheweth evil and ensueth good." In other words, he pursues good. He rejects evil and he pursues that which is good. The Lord said this of him. Verse 12, "Behold, in this thou art not just." And now Elihu says to Job, "I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him?" Elihu is reasoning with this elder of the people, this notable man, Job. "Why do you strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." What does Elihu mean by this? God is not answerable to man. He doesn't have to explain himself as to why he does things. It is enough that we know that he is just, and that whatever is happening in our lives is going to be consonant with his character. It's going to be, he can't deny himself as being just as well as merciful. Verse 13, "Why dost thou strive against him? He giveth not account of any of his matters." And now here's the text that meant so much to me when I had this experience. It begins with verse 14. And I see how it applies to other people too. And you'll be able to as well if you think about it. Verse 14, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." What does that mean? It means the Lord deals with people, but because of, for whatever reason, they don't get the message right away if it's simply his gentle admonition. Sometimes he has to be more forceful with certain people to get them to pay attention to him. It's a sad thing. It'd be wonderful if we could all take a cue very easily and not have this happen, but sometimes people are stubborn. And the Lord has to put them through certain things to get them to listen to him, to get them to be attentive to certain things in his word. "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." Elihu observes this, and he's saying, perhaps, Job, you're in that category too. Verse 15, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." How about that? I felt that occurring. God was reminding me of things, teaching me things by the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't remember them when I woke up. And yet they were being sealed inside of me that I would need later. Verse 17, why does he do this? It tells us that. Notice the word "that." It means "so that," in order that. This is the causal this is the reason. This is the cause. "That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." That he may deliver man from his egotism, from his arrogance. And he may restrain him from the way that he would normally want to go according to the flesh. Verse 18, "He keepeth back his soul from the pit." Why does he afflict certain people? He's trying to save their lives, trying to save their souls. They haven't heard him. They've heard him, but they can afford not to. They have a certain confidence. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. Elihu is not saying that this is why all affliction comes, or this is necessary for every man. And indeed, I mean, the scriptures say if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It's God's preference, you could say it like this, that we take a cue easily, that we understand our own errors, that we the psalm says, make me to understand my own errors, cleanse me from secret faults, keep me back from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. It's God's will that we do a self-check. Of course, we don't always do it, and some people, they need this. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, verse 19. Verse 20, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. He loses his appetite from things that are happening in his life. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. Now here's Elihu saying this to Job. This is exactly what's happening to Job. The whatever affliction he's having, he is experiencing this physical malady, and he's getting thin. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not, they stick out. Verse 22, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. Elihu continues, verse 23, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. And now Elihu says, if only there were someone who could advise such a man as to why this is happening, and could help him to come to terms with this. Then verse 24, then if that be the case, if a counselor like that be found, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found him a ransom. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is our ransom? He is the one who acts as go between is too weak a word, an intercessor for us before the Father. We're told that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints with groanings which cannot be uttered, with a kind of communication that we don't have, that we don't know about. The Holy Spirit is able to intercede on behalf of us before the Father. We read that in the letters of the Romans. And if that be found, says Elihu to Job, verse 25, he will recover. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Now, even if we don't experience that in this life, we have a body awaiting us. We have a body that is incorruptible, that is just beyond the grave, awaiting us in that land of fadeless day where there is no night. Verse 26, and he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. And then Elihu steps back and generalizes here. Verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not. He's looking for people with that attitude who will say, all right, you know, I've done wrong, but I see the error of my ways now. And the Lord will look favorably upon that man. If he's trying to teach someone something and they're getting the message even through affliction, God will be merciful. Verse 28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Verse 29, lo, these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit. See, notice he says that this God does this often with people. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Verse 30, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace. What's he mean? Be quiet now. Stop saying these things to God. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. Elihu wants to help Job. He wants to take up his cause. And so he speaks on behalf of the Lord as someone who, with a sweet reasonableness. And then he says, verse 33, the end of the chapter, if not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. He's not, I don't see Elihu as being arrogant or presumptuous here. I see him as basically saying, you know, I'm young, but I'm giving you sound advice. Anyway, the people elsewhere in Job, Job wonders if God would provide him what our translation called a daysman. It means an intercessor, someone who will intercede on his behalf before the Lord. And we know this to be the Lord Jesus. There's a text in Job where Job speaks of an intercessor. If only the Lord would provide him an intercessor, but we know that would have been the Lord Jesus, and he looked unto him. And so this is an experience that God gives to people. It's best if we take a cue easily, but even in mercy, God brings certain afflictions to people upon their lives so that they would know the power of God and they would see him work. So let's take a cue from this and see that the Lord continues to work. And sometimes when people are in affliction and they know the Lord, it's so that the Lord can ultimately bless them. As we know in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We're told in James, to conclude here, we're told in James that we're to remember Job. You have seen the sufferings of Job, how the Lord is merciful, that's in the book of James chapter 5. So, in conclusion, we've seen how this is relevant to us, and we can pray for those who are in affliction and pray that they would see how to best relate to the Lord in those situations. Amen. Amen. Hymn 393, please rise.